So tonight's topic is the Symphony of Differences, understanding the death of Talmid Rabbi Akiva. We're going to ask three questions to start, and we're going to have one yesod that's going to answer up everything. And I'm really excited about this one because I stumbled upon a Shem Yeshua, the Sagit Shavu Rebbe, who discusses an awesome, and a new approach to Talmid Rabbi Akiva. So let's take a look. Source number one of the Gemara in Yevamah, Samach Beis, Amud Beis. The Gemara says, about three lines down, actually, let's go all the way to the top. Rabbi Akiva Omer, first line. Lama Torah b'yalduso yilmo Torah b'ziknuso. Learn Torah in your younger years and learn Torah in your older years. Hayu lo tamidim b'yalduso yihiyu lo tamidim b'ziknuso. If you have tamidim in your younger years, so it's a way to ensure that you also have tamidim in your later years. Shenemar b'boker zara zarecha. Fine, he quotes a pasuk to bring a riot. Now, once we stated that, Maimer by Rabbi Akiva, so we see that he himself had tamidim in his younger years and his later years. Why? Amru Shnaim Asar Elav Zugim Talmidim. He had 12,000 pairs of Talmidim, meaning the 12,000 Chavrusas. Hayulo Rabbi Akiva Megabar Ar Antripas, which I think is the Antifras, excuse me, the places from which he reached. He had, you know, Talmidim from New York to LA and everywhere in between, something along those lines. V'kulan Mesu B'Perek Echad, and they all died in the same time period. M'nei Shelo Nagu Kavod Zelaze, because they weren't Misnahi Kavod, they didn't afford honor and respect to one another. Okay. V'hayu ha'olam shamam ad shebar Rabbi Akiva itzor rabosinu shebedarom, and the world was desolate of Torah until Rabbi Akiva later on came and taught the Talmidim in the south. And who were they? Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar ben Shema. V'heim heim hamidu Torah achas, and they were the ones who kind of perpetuated and continued the Torah. So question number one is, what is going on with this Gemara? Shelo nahagu kavod zelaza. We've all heard it. The time period we're in, you know, Sfira B'Ikaron, again, isn't, you know, according to the Torah, it's not what we have now. But we have, you know, some of us have a little bit more of an unkempt beard, okay? We have also a Yom HaZikaron, we have a Yom HaAtzmaut, we have Lag BaOmer, Yom Yerushalayim, there's so many other things, but B'Ikaron, Sfira is a time from Pesach to Shavuos, right? It's the Ramban calls it a Chol HaMoed. You're going from Yetzias Mitzrayim, we left Mitzrayim, we're about to become free people and become a nation unto God. But now, all of a sudden, we have this Gemara. And all of a sudden we have a period of mourning for the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. But how could it be that they died? Right? The Gemara says, Shalom Nagu Kavod. What does that mean? These were like the greatest Talmidim. We're not talking about like community colleges of like Talmidim. We're talking about like the Ivy Leagues of Talmidim. They're learning about Rabbi Akiva, the greatest Rebbe of all time. The Gemara says that the stuff Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't figure out, Hashem said, don't worry, Akiva's going to come on later. He's going to teach it. We're talking about like the Rebbe of Rebbes. And like they weren't mechabed each other? What does that mean? Like Rabbi Sprung in the Kol, he's my Chavrusa. So maybe you would call him Rabbi Sprung, but I call him Yitzi. So is that like, is that not Kavod? Like, what is going on in the Gemara? Right, so that's question number one. That's what we have to deal with. Question number two has nothing really to do with anything. We have to go all the way back to Parshas Noach. What's Parshas Noach all about? What would you say?
The flood.
The Mabul, Teva, right? So you go to the end of Parshas Noach, though. There's a scene that doesn't get maybe as much FaceTime in kindergarten and first grade. But you have the, yeah, exactly, Migdal Bavel, with the Dora Flaga. Okay, so we have here, these handouts are Shemos, so if you want to keep them, just keep that in mind. We have the Psukim here. Towards the end, I think it's the 7th Aliyah in Parshas Noach, beginning of Perek Yud Aleph. And it's pretty interesting. But he, Kol Ha'aretz, Safa, Echas, Udvar Machadim, they all had one language, and they had one, I don't know, common purpose, uniting force or theme. Okay? And we know the story. They decide they're going to build this tower all the way up to Shemayim to, I don't know, take on God. So what was their chait? Or some say, like, they ask, like, a klutz, like, it's impossible. Like, it's very cute that you think you're going to build a tower all the way up to God. Like, that's not really a sin, because it's impossible. You really think you're going to build a tower big enough to overtake God? Like, that's ridiculous. So what was really the underlying, let's say, maybe chisaron in midos? Was it Taiva that they wanted to be the high, I don't know, build the next Empire State Building, Sears Tower, whatever it's called now, Sears Tower. Yeah, there you go. It was the Hancock, right? I don't know, Willis, whatever. They wanted to build the biggest tower in the world, right? Like, it was Taiva? They wanted to be the man? Maybe it was Gaiva. Maybe they wanted to feel good, right? So we have to understand that chait. So that's question number two. And question number three, there's a Zohar, and it's found in a lot of the Chassidish Sfarim, that there's a notion that Yisrael is Rashi Tevos Yesh Shishim Ribo osios l'Torah, that there's 600,000 letters in the Torah, and they correspond to the 600,000 Jews. So that's a little bit bizarre on a number of levels. First of all, does anyone know how many letters there are in the Torah?
More than 600,000.
Less.
Okay, good. You're right! You know, okay, good. So we have under over here. Okay, anyone else want to take a guess? 304,805 letters in the Torah, according to Google. Baruch Hashem, right? Fine. So just over 300,000 letters. So first of all, the number that the Zohar gives is high. And second of all, on the flip side, it's low. There are not 600,000 Jews in the world. Way more. So what is what's going on? What's the significance? Those are our three questions. Again, what does it mean, lo nagu kavod zeh lazeh? Number one. Number two, what was the chisaron of the Dor HaFlaga? That's number two. And number three is, what's this phrase, yeshishim rivo osios l'Torah? Everyone with me so far? We're clear? Okay, so let's turn the page here, go to source number three. This is from the Sefer Minchas Asher. Minchas Asher.
Was there a connection between the Yisrael and the seventh Aliyah of Noah?
No. Three separate questions. Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Okay. So Rav Asher Weiss gives us maybe the more mainstream approach to understanding Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, and then we're going to show something totally different. But he says as follows, V'nizkashu chach melev. Everyone asks this question, L'havin esa onesh hanora hazeh, shol misas kol osan alfei talmidim, al shalonagu kavod zeh bezeh. He says, everyone's trying to figure out, why exactly was it such a terrible, terrible consequence, right? Why were they punished so severely? V'chi onesh kare so misa yesh bekavod chaverim, right? We know chametz on Pesach, not having bris milah. There's certain things that are pretty severe, or not pretty. They're incredibly severe, but not being mechaved someone else, and we're not even sure. It's so vague, so ambiguous. Like, what does it mean that they were mechaved one another? Ela nira pashit. He says the answer is as follows: the rak mishum shayu talmidav shel ha'adam hagadol ba'anakim Rabbi Akiva. It was only because they were talmidim of the giant among men, right? The giant among giants, Rabbi Akiva. It was only because they were talmidim of Rabbi Akiva did Hashem hold them to a higher standard. Why? It was Rabbi Akiva who taught them what? The Mishnah in Avos. That every person is created in the image of God. Right? B'tselem. Or everyone's created in the image. And then there's this Chiba Yaseira. You know, for the Bnei Yisrael, because we were created B'Tzelem Elokim. That was Rabbi Akiva, right? The Mishnah starts, Hu Haya Omer. Hu Haya Omer, I think I may have heard this from Rav Nussbacher, but I think many, many people quote this idea. Hu Haya Omer wasn't just he said it once upon his, once upon a time. Hu Haya Omer is, this is what he said. This was his mantra, this was his bumper sticker. You could hear him, everyone has a parent, whatever it was, they always say that one line. My father always says that joke. Or at the Seder, he always asks that question. Everyone knows it's coming, right? All the kids at the table can finish up the story. Hu Hayomer, this is what Rabbi Akiva said all the time. And he was telling his students left and right. What else did he say? Torah Sklan and Parshas Kedoshim. Famous idea. V'yahav Torecha Kamocha Zeklau Gadol B'Torah. This was Rabbi Akiva. V'mikol Zech Chazin and Shitas Rabbi Akiva. She'ahav Asrei Mekavod Chaverim Heim Miyesodos HaTorah. Right, this was the fundamental, foundational principle when it comes to Talmud Torah. Right, it's not just about the Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos. It's about how you treat other people. And these Talmidim dropped the ball. They dropped the ball. They weren't mechaved one another, and because of that, they were punished so severely. But let's look at source number four. Source number four is from the Shemi Shmuel, and Imamish changed my sphere to Omer this year. It's a totally, totally different approach as to what the problem. And you'll see, you would have never ever thought about it. Because since we've been kids, we've been learning it a different way. He says as follows. So, it's unbelievable. Yesh lehizboni b'masha amruzal. He says, it's a little bit we have to understand what the Gemara in Yevamah Samach Beis is, that chav dalet elef talmidim, 24,000 students, hayu lo l'Rabbi Akiva v'kula mesu mi Pesach v'ad Atzeres. And they all died from Pesach till Atzeres. B'vnei shelo nagu kavod zeh lazeh. Because they didn't afford kavod to one another. Right, the Maral happens to say, I saw this, I think this is in the Siva Torah, Perek Yud Beis, but he writes that we have a pasuk. We say, Orech Yamim Bimina, Ubismola Osher V'Chavod. He says, when you lose the Kavod, so the Mamela, you lose out on the Orech Yamim on the other side. So they weren't mechabed one another, so mevela they died. Okay, so an interesting pshat by the Maharal. But says the Shemishmo, we have to really understand what's going on. They stopped dying, lag ba'omer. How could it be these great tzaddikim? We're assuming the Talmidim, again, of Rabbi Akiva, were tremendous, tremendous Talmidei Chachamim. And they were in control of their emotions, they were in control of themselves, right? They knew what they could and couldn't do. They knew what they should and shouldn't do. So how could it possibly be that they were mechabed one another? So he says something phenomenal. Vinir dihine inyan nihigas kavod. Why does one honor someone else? What would you say? When am I mechabed you? When do I respect you or someone?
When you have a lot of knowledge or something that's deserving of respect.
Okay.
So like a Talmid Chacham, you say you respect him because of his Torah knowledge.
Okay.
Right? Or your parents because it says so in the Torah.
Okay. Because it says so.
You want to emulate that person. You want to be like him.
Okay.
You respect him.
Okay, there's something there that you...
You want to be a part of.
You admire.
Yes.
Okay. So the Shem Yishmol says as follows. What's kavod? V'nir dihine inyan higas kavod? Ze bezeh kvar amarno. We've already spoken about it. Shehi mitzad, in a previous piece. Shehi mitzad sheroa bechaviro. You see in your friend or in another. Maila she'in bo. You see in them something. They have a maila that you don't have. They're greater than you in a certain area. Al karchach noe kavod bo. Why do you afford him kavod? Shari befrat ze hu gavoa mimenu. Because in this area, he's greater than you. Right? So if you want to give the, I don't know, the Talmud Chacham, the rabbi example. The rabbi and the doctor, right? So the doctor might look up to the rabbi in terms of his, I don't know, halachic knowledge. But the rabbi certainly looks up to the doctor for his medical knowledge. Right? And you see someone in real estate, you understand that you have a much better understanding of real estate and properties and, you know, how the market works, etc. You look at people who know different, you know, areas. They're let's say, bekiyim in other disciplines. And that's something that you respect. That's an impressive thing. That's something that we admire, we look up to. So he says as follows. V'chein ze bezeh. Then it's dafka, this one and that one. You can point to this person and say, wow, this person is a baki in this area. He knows, he's an expert here, and he's greater than me in that area, and therefore I'm mechabed him. Shelo yitachin, shelo yeh echad gevoa mechaver befrat echad. It's impossible. It's impossible. Shelo yeh echad gevoa mechaver befrat echad. People have milas over one another. So we should always be looking around. People are greater than others in different areas. But he says as follows, v'hinei ba'odim prati, but if you look at a person on an individual level, af sheyesh bo evarim chaluki b'mayla, even though we have different limbs and different body parts that do different things. Your arm is never going to be mechabed your leg, and your ear is not going to be mechabed your lips. Why? Because it's all guf echad. They don't view themselves as disparate limbs or body parts. It's not like Mr. Potato Head, you're taking it on and off, right? What is it? It's one body, it's one guf. V'imkein lichora. So if that's the case, right? We can presumably say, Chaveirim Shehim Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad. Chaveirim. Friends. A group of people. Who are Mamish Ki Ish Echad. They have such Achdus. Yish Mako Momar. We can suggest, Shalosh Shaychus Chalukas Kavod Zelazeh. Sharei Kulam Ki Ish Echad Mamish. A wild idea. What was the downfall of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva? They had too much Achdus. They didn't view themselves as individuals. There was no more singularity. There was no individuality. It was all, we're Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. Maybe that's even Pshat in the Gemara, right? The Gemara had used the Lashon that there were 12,000 pairs of students. Why don't you say 24,000? So okay, we should be learning Chavrusa. That's, right, the Gemara's talk about that it's much better to learn with another person. That's true. But it could also be they lost the individuality. And it was just like two people learning together. I don't know if anyone remembers. I was just thinking that it's almost like, you know, the brand And One? And the back of the shirts, they had like, I don't know, funny lines. And they also had this guy playing basketball. But the guy didn't have a face. Right? So part of me thinks when I was learning the Shemi Shmuel that you have 24,000 faceless people. There's no individual anymore. There's no self-identity. They're just Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. Right? Imagine, I don't know, you go to your, I don't know, college reunion. And you have all the different alumni coming. And no one's saying like what they do now. It's not like, oh, I'm a doctor, I'm an accountant, I'm a lawyer, I'm a this, I'm a that. It's, oh no, I went to the college. And that's it. No one's talking about anything else beyond that. They were talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. And there was no individuality. And that was the problem. It's such a backwards shot. We're always used to hearing that what?
What's the problem?
Oh, okay, good. We'll get there. Very good. We're always used to hearing that, no, they're not mechat. They talk, in, I don't know, they talk Lashon Hara, they make fun of, someone suggests a pshat. No, it's a silly pshat in the Gemara, you're ridiculous, you shouldn't have been accepted to the yeshiva. No, they had such incredible achdus. And that was their downfall. So it continues the Shem Yishmo, V'nir Shezeh in the middle, Hayatam Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. That was the problem. Aval Be'emes Inokin. That's not the way to do it. Sharei Kol Tzadik, V'tzadik, V'tzadik, Yish Lo Mador B'fnei Atzma. Every single tzadik, every single Jew, right? V'amcha Kulam Tzadikim. Every single Jew has something of value, something of import that they can contribute to everybody around them. When you just view yourself as ki'ish echad, we're just one goof, and we don't look at you as significant at all. You're just another cog in the wheel, getting the job done, helping us attain our goal. But when you look at the individuals and realize what they have to contribute, what they have to add, so then it gives significance to every single person there. And he goes on, he quotes a medrash that says that even when Hashem calls us by name, He calls us Shemos. Right? Towards the end, he quotes from his father, just six lines from the bottom, Perish Divrei HaMedrash, in Vayakel Keshu Rotze, Korei Es Kulam, when he wants to call us, Ke'echad, as one, Shenemar L'Kulam B'Shem Yikra. So he's calling us by name. Ukshu Rotze, Korei Es Kol Echad V'Echad B'Shmo. And he wants to call us all, individually, not just as one group, but as individuals. Lekach nemar lekulam shemos yikra. Shemos is multiple names. He's not just calling us Klal Yisrael, but it's Berger and Goldberg and, you know, v'chulei, 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 every single Jew. Haynu shi shehim nirtzi mitzad haklal. We have a certain chen or charm towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu when we are on a klal level. And at the same time, gam mitzad haprat, even as individuals, we have the same sort of chin, we have the same sort of charm, we have what to offer, we have what to contribute as individuals. So now let's turn the page for a second. Says the Netziv, an awesome idea. The Netziv says this was the chait of the Dor HaFlaga with the Migdal Bavel. What did they want to do? They wanted to build a tower. They wanted to get everyone together and said, we're going to go and we're going to climb up to Shemayim. Now, to climb up to Shemayim, to build up Shemayim, you need a pretty significant group of people. Says in the Tziv something pretty unbelievable. Look at, we'll skip source number 5, that's just Rashi on the Psukim over there. Source number 6 is in the Tziv. V'rosho ba'Shemayim. Zevadai lo ya'ale aldas shetia ir achas l'kol olam. They couldn't, it's not possible that they really thought there would only be one city in the whole entire world. Okay? Ela kisvorim shiyihiyu kol ha'arim simuchos. Every city that would be there would be near them, right? And it would be batel utfelos la'oso ha'ir sheba ha'migdal. This migdal would be so big and so overwhelming that the smaller neighboring cities would be batel to this one big tower. Okay, vihiya ha'migdal etzapos menu, and they'd be able to look out from beyond from this tower to the neighboring cities or countries, whatever you want to call it. So that no one should be too far away from them. That they should be able to see everybody. Everyone should be, you know, off in the near distance. Right? That they can see them. Therefore they wanted to be in Shemayim. Says the Netziv, and he plugs this through the whole entire story. Let's just continue. They appointed officers. What did these officers do? Vihiyu sarei tzava lahaanish esa over. They were the taskmasters to punish anybody who went over the line. Dibelo ze ino mol hamigdal. Without the enforcers, you can't accomplish your goal. Okay? Vikol ze, and all of this, the big tower, and these enforcers, the taskmasters, what was it all for? Haya lichshash penafutz al pnei kol haaretz. There was a concern, they were worried, that maybe they would spread out, they would disperse amongst the land. What's the problem with that? He writes, let's skip to the second line. Umavan shezeha yeshayach ledvarim achadim shehaya b'neihem. This was this one common purpose between them. As the Pasuk said, Ubasher in deos b'nei adam shavos chashu shelo yatsu b'nei adam midei zov yeh machshav acheres. They were worried someone else would have a different, you know, thought process. You know what? It's nice that you guys are building this big tower, but not really for me. I think I'm going to go start my own little shtiebel, start my own little community somewhere else. They were petrified. They couldn't have that. Al Cain in the middle, Hayu mashkichim shelo yatsa ish mi yishuv shelahem. It was a gang. Once you joined, there was no way out. What, you're with us? That's it. I was looking around a little bit on the internet. I was Googling a little bit about the Holocaust, certain articles, and I found that often Nazis, I was curious if this was kind of like the Nazis. If a Nazi said, you know, if the general said, kill the Jews, and the guy was like, no, it's immoral, it's wrong, it's unethical. So what would happen to that soldier? So there were many accounts that either the soldiers were killed, some of them were thrown in jail, or tried for treason. You know, there was this Admiral Canaris, or Canaris. Mm-hmm. You're familiar? Mm-hmm. So he was someone who was very much, I think he did not such great things over the course of the war, but there was a lot of good that he tried to do. And he tried to save Jews, he tried to, you know, abort mission left and right, to the point that Hitler got like fed up with him. But you see that this happened in World War II, and then Nitziv is saying this would happen in Bavel with the Dor HaFlaga. Anyone who wanted out, they said, no way, we're not letting you out. Once you're in, you're in. And this is what they couldn't deal with any other community, any other mindset, any train of thought, nothing. You have to be in it. And you're with us and that's it. You just got absorbed into this giant, you know, mush of people that were also faceless. So much so that you don't want to know how much they didn't care about the individual? There's a frightening Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer in source number 7. Perek Chof Dal in the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, he says as follows. Go to the third to last line, smack in the middle of the line, Vitim. What would happen? Again, you have this giant, giant tower. Okay? So it can get, I don't know if you're afraid of heights, but it can get wobbly maybe, right? If things got heavy, you lost your balance. What would happen when someone would fall?
They'd die.
That's it. Vitim nafal adam v'meis. Loyu some mislibam alav. They would just shrug. They would not pay attention to it. They wouldn't bat an eyelash. They wouldn't say boo. But what? Vim nafla lavina achas. If they lost a brick, what would happen? Hayu yoshvin ubochin. They would sit on the floor, or sit on the tower, I guess. Ubochin. They'd cry over a brick. V'omrim, what would they say? Ay lanu. Imasai tala acheres tachta. How are we ever going to find another one in its place? A person has no individuality. But a brick, how are we ever going to find another one? As if every brick is miyuchad and different and unique? Mash'inkin, a person? My father-in-law was telling me, and I'm not sure, I think it may have been from Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, that avelus, when we mourn the departed, we don't just mourn the gidolei hador and the greatest politicians and the greatest doctors. We mourn everybody and your Aunt Sally. Every single Jew we sit shiva for. The Kerovim sit shiva for. And we're Menachem Avel. Why? Because we understand that every single Jew has something to offer. And when that Jew leaves this world, so the world is chasid. We lost that on that individuality, on that uniqueness that person offered. It's the exact opposite of what the Chevra in Migdal Bavel felt. If a brick falls, imasai tala acheres tachta, how can we ever replace this? But if a person died, okay. Weiter, we'll just continue on with life. It was totally, totally backwards. And I think, maybe, right, you asked, so what's so bad? Achdus is a good thing. So achdus is a very important thing. But achdus is only a result of recognition of others. You can only get to true achdus if you recognize every single person around you. It's not that we just come together. Unity doesn't mean conformity. Unity means everyone joining together. So Rav Soloveitchik has an unbelievable idea. This is from the article, The Community. And the previous paragraphs were discussing that the smallest community we have is marriage. Okay? And what happens in marriage? He says the first step in forming a community is the recognition of the other person. Okay? And by really realizing that we're not the only significant ones, and realizing that there's another person out there, we're not solitary in this world, we kind of contract ourselves, and we allow room for the other person. As he says, creation of a community, not in this paragraph, we'll read inside in just a second, but he says the creation of a community, or of the world, on Hashem's level, is the recognition of others, withdrawal of yourself. We're going to explain this in just a second. And that's an act of sacrifice. So let's take a look. He says the same is true of man. He was describing Hashem's creation of the world. If lonely man is to rise from existential exclusiveness, right, total reclusion, but just by yourself, solitude, to existential all-inclusiveness, then the first thing he has to do is to recognize another existence. It's not just about me. There's someone else out there. Of course, this recognition is a sacrificial act, since the mere admission that a thou exists in addition to the I is tantamount to tzimtzum, which is self-limitation and self-contraction. Meaning the very fact that you're recognizing something else shows that we are finite, that there are other people around us. And when you do that, you're automatically constricting yourself and allowing room for other people to be there. One individual extends the shalom greeting to another individual, and in so doing, he creates a community. The halacha has attached great significance to casual greetings exchanged between two individuals. Reb Chebel even says that if someone extends a shalom aleichem and you don't say aleichem shalom back, what'd you do? You're a robber. You stole his shalom. What does shalom convey? If not encouragement and solace to the lonely and distressed, you see someone by themselves and you say shalom aleichem. They're on the street, they're walking down the block. Shalom aleichem, Rabbi. You can really change a person's Shabbos. I remember when I think I was in ninth grade. I was in Riverdale for Shabbos at a friend. I remember this. And there was you see that guy walking down the street in the middle of Shabbos afternoon, like you should be in your house or your apartment. He was just like one of these like odd guys. Now, I didn't know left from right because I didn't grow up in Riverdale. I was just at my friend for Shabbos. But he saw him and he kind of like told me like this is like the, not the town Nebuch, but like he's a guy who's like, whatever. So he said, okay, great. I don't care. And we kept on walking towards him on the sidewalk, and he was walking in our direction. And my friend Eitan turned to him and said, Good Shabbos. And I remember, it was in ninth grade. I've probably said Good Shabbos to thousands of people literally since then. But I remember my friend Eitan saying Good Shabbos to this guy, and the guy's face lit up, and we were about to continue walking, and he said, I just want to let you know how much I appreciate you saying Good Shabbos to me. And you can change a person's life. Look at Rav Soloveitchik writes on the next page. We'll skip this paragraph, but he says, quite often a man finds himself in a crowd among strangers. He feels lonely, no one knows him, no one cares for him, no one is concerned with him. Right? They're at that kiddush, they're at that smorgasbord, and everyone's talking to their friends, and this one guy is like, sitting by the moose, trying every moose by himself because he has no one to talk to. It's again an existential experience. He begins to doubt his ontological worth. He feels like a nothing. He feels like a nobody. This leads to alienation from the crowd surrounding him. Suddenly someone taps him on the shoulder and says, aren't you Mr. So-and-so? I've heard so much about you. All of a sudden, everything changes. The person feels like, yeah, I'm a something. Right? That's what kavod comes from. To be mechabed someone else. Right? What is the word kavod? It's related to what word? Kavid. Heavy. If you're mechabe, what does it mean that they're heavy? It means that they exist. They're a real something. If you didn't exist, you wouldn't weigh anything. When you're mechabe someone, you give them a sense of self-worth. And you make them feel like something. And that needs to come before. The Rav says, if you go back to the previous paragraph, sorry we skipped, but what happens, even in the time of Shema, even when you're saying, you're being mechabe olmach v'shemayim, and someone says Shalom Aleichem to you, you're allowed to respond, Aleichem Shalom. What do we say in Kiddush Levana?
Really?
The Gemara in Brachos discusses it. There's certain points in Kriyat Shema you're allowed to respond. Aleichem Shalom. What do we say? Kiddush Levana? If this was the one time a month we'd be able to be Mekabel Pnei Shechina, that would be enough. This is the only thing I did a month. But what do you do right before that? You say Shalom Aleichem three times. How can you be Mekabel Omach Shemayim without recognizing the individuals? It's all about seeing people as they are. You have to see people as individuals. Give them self-worth. Validate people. Show them that they have significance. They have self-worth. What was our other question? We asked, what's pshat in yeshish and ribo osios l'torah? We know a Torah needs every single letter. Without even one letter, the Torah is incomplete. So yeah, when we look at a Torah, we don't look at every single letter bifrat. We look at it as a Torah. We view it as a Torah. One guf, right? That being said, if it's missing one single letter, the Torah is incomplete. You can't. It's not okay. Not only that, this is from the Tiferet Shlomo, the Rebbe of Rodomsk, on Shavuos. I didn't photocopy it, but he says as follows. He says, not only does every letter need to be in its place, but there's a halacha that needs to be mukaf bigvil. What's mukaf bigvil? It needs to be surrounded by parchment. Shelo nagu zeb zeh, that they're not touching one another. Meaning what? That every single letter needs to retain its individuality, its uniqueness. That I am me and you are you. Right? We quote from, I don't know, the Kutzker, maybe Dr. Seuss, I forget who exactly it is. Right? What's the line here? If I am I because I am I and you, because you are you, then I am I and you are you. But if I am I because you are you and you are you because I am I, then I am not I and you are not you.
I think it's
Kutzker. Kutzker, not Dr. Seuss. It could go either way. Yeah. But the point is that we need to retain our individuality. And that's the yisod, that we all have something to offer. That's why the Torah is called a shira. Kisu lechem es ha-shira azos. Right? If you went to, I don't know, a symphony, and the orchestra had 17 violinists, and that's it, it wouldn't be so gishmak. What? How do they produce such a beautiful symphony? It's because they have 47 different musicians playing different instruments. And together with them adding their own little flavor, their own little sound, that produces something beautiful. That's what it's all about. So now, how do we go back to Talmidei of Rabbi Akiva? The Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva were the ones who were learning from their Rebbe. Their Rebbe was the one who taught us, V'yahavta kamocha, Zekla Agadah B'Torah. Their Rebbe was the one who taught us that every single person is created B'Tselem. B'nei Yisrael is going to B'Tselem Elokim. They missed the boat. They missed the boat completely because they viewed themselves as Guf Echad. They weren't looking at themselves as individuals. And perhaps, we'll just end with this, that maybe that's exactly what we're trying to accomplish in the time period that we're in. We started with Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? Yetzias Mitzrayim to Matan Torah. I like to say, Gematria from Rav Meir Shapiro, the one who started the Daf Yomi, the Lubina Rebbe, says what? Awesome Gematria if you like Gematrias, and if you don't, I still think it's awesome, so it's okay. He says as follows, Yetzias Mitzrayim and Gematria is 891, which is the same exact Gematria as Nasiv and Ishma. Ga'alti was all about Lakachti. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim so that we could be Makabal the Torah. So what did we say at Kiryas Yamsov? Ze Keli va'anveyo. What does that mean?
This is my God and I will...
Not Ze Kel, but Ze Keli. This is my God. And what happened at Matan Torah? Hashem said what? Anochi Hashem Elokech. I am Hashem, your God. B'loshon Yachad. I am your God. So that makes me feel like what? That hey, I'm the man. This is my God. He's talking to me. And it's all about me. Right? But what do we have to understand? It's a klalu pradu klal. What's the prad in the middle? That we have to understand that every single person is important. And every single person has a chelek in Torah and a chelek in Avodas Hashem. No matter how big or how small it is. When we left Mitzrayim, the Sfas Emes, the last mucker on the page, source number 9, one of my favorite varlach on Pesach, when we left Mitzrayim, as little kids, we're taught, or we think, that we left in one big path. The Sfas Emes says, no, there were Yud Beis, there were 12 paths at Yamsuf, one path for every single Shevet, to teach us that every single one of us has a unique path in Avodas Hashem, that we all can contribute something, we can all connect to something. And when we view ourselves as just one big Klal Yisrael, so then, again, Achdus is great, and we need Achdus. But as Rav Soloveitchik writes, it's only a product of recognizing all the individuals. Right? If you look at your shul, you don't just view it as kins or KGBS or wherever we daven. Right? On one hand, we do. But we have a board and there are individuals and there's the gaboim and there's the chazonim and all sorts of people and all sorts of Jews. And it's only with that recognition and that understanding can we form a real tzibur. So the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, while they had achdos, it was to an extent an inappropriate achdos. An inappropriate achdos because they didn't want to recognize or they missed. It's hard to say, but they just didn't view each other as individuals. They looked at one giant unit, one conglomerate without any individual, without singularity, and that, I think, was their chin. I think that's something that we have to work on. We have to strive for achdus, but it's only when we say Shalom Aleichem and recognize other people, and when you're makir other people, so then you can bring them into your circle. But if you just walk by that guy on the street on Shabbos, that woman on the street on Shabbos, and you don't say anything to them, so then how can you ever bring them into your tzibur? How can you ever bring them closer? And so it's all about recognizing other people. And I think this is what really Rabbi Akiva tried to do. Rav Asher Weiss points out, we'll just conclude with this, that Rabbi Akiva's Torahs were all about what? Kol ha-mevarech es chavero, ki'ilu mevarech es ha-shechina. And these aren't on the Ma'amar Kobos. Anyone who blesses their friend is like you're blessing the Shechina. Kol ha-mekabel p'nei chavero, anyone who greets their friend, is ki'ilu mekabel p'nei ha-shechina. If, you know, it's better, all sorts of Ma'amar Chazal, you can go on and on. I have a list of like 6 or 7 here from Rav Asher Weiss. It's better to jump into a kitchen of Ish than to embarrass someone else. All these are Torahs from Rabbi Akiva and his students after he restarted again with the 5 Talmidim. All talking about the importance of people and recognizing other people. And let's just conclude with this last idea. What was the Lashon Shalonagu Kavod Zelazeh? Where else do we see that Lashon? We see that by the Malachim. What do we say in Kiddusha? Vikara Zeh El Zevi Amar. Only when Vikara Zeh El Zevi Amar, the Pasuk in Shai says, only when Vikara Zeh El Zevi Amar, only when they all said, okay, are you ready? That, when they were all together in unison, they prayed, they dive into a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And Rashi even says there, that if one was to be mocked, and if one was to jump and go by himself before everybody else, so he was punished, he'd be burnt up. An unbelievable thing. And what's unique about Malachim? Every single Malach has their own Shlichus. And we know that from Vayera. Hashem sent 3 Malachim to Avram. Why not just send one? Rashi tells us because every single Malach has their unique Shlichus. Memela what? They all sang together, but it was with the recognition of Zeh El Zeh. They all saw each other as individuals. And it was Vikara Zeh El Zeh. It was that Zeh El Zeh. Shalo Nahagu Zeh La Zeh. And I think that was maybe the downfall of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. So hopefully we use the next couple of weeks as we go towards Matan Torah. And we're Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar. As one group, Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad. It's Ki Ish Echad, but with the understanding that it's all about the individuals that make up the Klal. Okay. Shkoyach. Yeah.